I'm Sam Stokes. Let's explore the littoral space. Remember, littoral space is the coastline. But for you, a littoral space could be a wetland, a large puddle that's drying. Almost everything contains life. And we can explore water temperatures, clarity of the water, these kind of things. So what we're talking about that we've discussed in the last two is sort of introducing the ideas of what kind of data we're going to log. Okay, let's take a look at our software environment. Now we'll talk about the hardware in a few minutes, but the data logger is a device you buy from Adafruit for about $17. It doesn't have a radio, you use an SD card, so you would need an SD card, but any size SD card, even an old one, as long as it's functional, will work with it. Now we're staying away from radios right now, radios such as Bluetooth or Wi-Fi or even a mesh, which is sort of like your radio control car. And we're focused on keeping things very simple. Radios add another level of complexity and cost to your project. We want to keep these very low cost because the data is more important than the fancy technology. So what we're doing right now is we're looking at Visual Studio. Now your Visual Studio component that you're using might look different than mine. Mine has the word architecture next to the word test and to the left of analyze. This means that it's a Visual Studio Ultimate version. This is a very expensive version of Visual Studio. If you buy it, I'm not even going to say the number, it's quite high. But the community Visual Studio is just as good, with a few exceptions. You can't do the architecture, which we're not worried about right now. So let's talk about how do we add and use Visual Studio with our data logger in our Arduino Uno. First of all, I came in here and went to File, New. And you'll notice that when I'm using Visual Micro, I have a new sketch project. If you're familiar with Arduinos, you know that Arduinos programming is referred to as sketch projects. So I already have clicked sketch project, and now I have my basic default void setup in void loop already placed into my development environment. Over here on the right-hand side, you see the Solution Explorer. Solution Explorer may be on the other side because I can move it around. This is referred to as docking. Or it can just take over the whole screen. So you can fix that and just go over here and grab the dock, and we'll make an adjustment. And so now I've moved around. I also have a toolbox. And toolbox will dock, and I want to dock this to my right side of the screen. And I'll make that a little smaller. Now on my toolbox, I've pasted a couple of lines of code that I'll be using in a second. In C, I need to do some include files. And if you're familiar with Java or C Sharp, you know that this is the import or using kind of verbiage. So now I come up here to Project in Visual Micro Add-on to Visual Studio, and I see I have two new lines. I have Add New Sketch Item, and I'm going to import a sketch library. Now, if all goes well and you've set up your configuration manager correctly, User is enabled. Let's talk about how to set it up so that your user is enabled. I'm going to come over here to where it says Arduino 1.0.x. And it says Configuration Manager. Down here, it says, optionally enter a sketchbook location and it affects location of custom libraries hardware. What you need to do is make sure you reference where your Arduino library is. Inside of your Arduino library, you need to have a folder called Libraries. Now I'm going to click OK. And if you've done everything correctly, you can go here to Import Sketch Library. User is enabled, and we need to add a real-time clock library. And we'll talk about the real-time clock library in just a second and why we need to do that. We also need to add the wire, and that's a core. So we come down here and select wire. Now, why is important? Remember I mentioned that we may not be using radials all the time. When we're dealing with the ocean, using radials can be very difficult. Why? Water blocks radio transmissions. One way oceanographers overcome this is by using something called single-wire receiver transmitters. Because the ocean is conductive due to salts, you can use a single wire and then have the return path through the ocean. This can be noisy and your transmission level is quite low, but for most of our utilizations, such as with the Arduino, that is okay. And it's certainly better than not having any communications because you can't use radios in the water. There's another way that we can do it. We could use lasers, or we could use light sources to transmit the information. And the wire basically can work with those kind of systems as well. Now, the RTC library, in our data logging, we need a real-time clock. Why? A real-time clock will operate without the CPU or anything else running. At a certain time, it can wake up the system, and then the system sensors and so forth turn on. Let's remember, temperature sensors are basically resistors. That means they use power. And we don't have much power for our sensors. So we don't need to be recording the temperature of a tide pool, as an example, if the tide pool is submerged. We can know what time the tide pool is submerged by observing the tide pools. Then we can set our RTC to detect what time it is and then take the water temperature at those times and then turn itself off. This saves a great deal of power. All right, so now we've added these two items, which I got from Adafruit, and now I'm going to use my toolbox and add some code from the Adafruit. And our first one is that we call out an object and we give it a name, capital RTC for real-time clock. Next, I'm going to add some code from over here. And this will allow us to begin to use our real-time clock. Okay, so as we work on our data logger, we have to be able to pull the data in and examine it. So let's briefly take a look at a couple of things. As you read through a product like, let's say, Adafruit, and where you may have bought your data logger from, they have complete lessons that work with the Arduino IDE as well as the Visual Micro IDE. So what we're going to do is open a file that I've been working on using that. And the file's called the DS1307, which is the part number for the data logger. And we'll go ahead and open that up. And we'll take a look at the code. Now, you'll notice that there's an include with the braces and then an include with the quotes. This is a self-written library that I want to use in other libraries. In this case, I didn't write it. It was written by somebody else, but I need to download it and install it in the correct location so that I can use it with quotes. And to do so, I need to make sure that I download it and extract it from the zip file so that it appears in the libraries under my Arduino folder. Once I've done that, then I can reference it, and the name of it is rtclib.h, and that stands for real-time clock. Now let's talk a little bit about a real-time clock. It's just a chip, little chip, that runs off of battery, and it can run off a very small coin battery for up to 10 years. Probably want to change the battery after 4. And what it does is that the real-time clock can be set so that it sends an interrupt to a sleeping CPU. Now, the CPU, like an Atmel chip or the TI chip, The at Mailchimp will sleep at around 1 microamp, so it does consume a little power. And that's not from the real-time clock battery. That's from your main power source. And the TI Launchpad chips, like the MSP430, can sleep at power usage as low as 450 nanoamps. So what that means is the CPU can be awakened by the real-time clock if the real-time clock sets a signal on the CPU. Once the CPU wakes up, it can then turn on the sensors and stabilize the system, take some instrument readings, and then put itself back to sleep until the RTC wakes it up. And this can go on continuously for very long periods of time. And good programming means that your battery will last a very long time. If you don't use the RTC, you're going to either be recharging your batteries quite frequently, or you're going to be purchasing new batteries in case you have to use the higher voltages available in alkaline batteries. So we have an include, an RTC lib, and down here we have our object that we're creating so that we can use the RTC and the objects on it. Next, we have our void setup. Now, this is where I make errors quite frequently, and that's that I'll set the baud rate, which is an old term, to 57,600, let's say. And up here, I'll have maybe the wrong board, or I'll have the wrong serial port, and I need to make sure that this is set correctly on my board. Next, the wire begins. The data logger uses a two-wire system, or as some people think of it, a one-wire system, because the other side just simply returns a ground. This is used in systems that are placed into the ocean, because you can use a single wire and have your return via the ocean. That can be quite noisy electrically, but if it's not very much data, as most of our sensors are just sending out data like temperature, clarity, water clarity and stuff, that's usually okay. Now we set our RTC here to begin. This means that the RTC is running and we want to be able to use the clock. And so we're going to test to make sure it's running. If it isn't, then we want to send a signal that says the RTC is not running. Now, this is a very simple program. It only reads the clock, and that's it. We're not doing anything like sleeping and then having the RTC wake us up or anything else. We're simply setting the RTC. Now, the real-time clock can do things like you could use it in an automobile. Maybe you want to set it up so that it comes up and checks the air temperature every once in a while, and if the air temperature is really cold, it'll turn on your oil heater, which, being a Southern California, I really have no idea what that means, but I hear that's used in frozen areas. And so now let's go ahead and run our code. And so in the Arduino IDE, we can either verify our code initially, but I'm pretty sure this code works okay, so I'm just going to click upload, which will verify the code first, and we see this signal down here as it increases. The little progress bar means that it's loading it onto the Arduino Uno. You'll see some flashing lights when it's done, and then it says it's done uploading here. Now over here is the serial monitor. I'm going to click on that and pull this onto the screen. And you can see here that the clock's set to 9:38, 12:16, which is about the time it is right now, 2014. And the time since midnight, 1/1/1970, is this many seconds and this many days. And a real-time clock currently works from January 1st, 1970. You may encounter other systems in your travels as an engineer or a software person where it uses a different date, and those are were common in the 80s, but and sensors tend to hang around. People tend to use them as long as they work, and some of these sensors are still doing things like controlling beer manufacturing and stuff like that. So if you're working with those, you may see a different date than January 1st, 1970. And now you can see that we're pulling in the data from the real-time clock. In our next session, what I want to do is we'll go over using the RTC to pull in data, wake the board up, pull in data, and then we'll register the data on our little COM port. Now, a couple of errors that can occur. Down here, you know, remember I was looking up here for tools for my baud rate, and actually it's on here on my serial port. And you'll see that the baud rate here is 57,600. But if it's 9,600, then we just get junk. So this serial port is set for 9,600, but we've set inside of our program the baud rate as 57,600. So now let's change this to 9 and see what happens. See if we get a better output from our serial monitor. Now 9,600 is standard, by the way, and that's the one that we'll use for most of our applications because those are the defaults. But 57,6 is fine. There's no reason not to use the higher one these days. And now we see that it's working. As long as this number matches that number, we're cool. If it doesn't match, then you get those weird little symbols. Okay, let's take a look at our loop. So now we see that we have these numbers showing up. All we're doing is date time now equals RTC.now. In our header file, we have prototyped a class that we can call, and it's referred to, the function inside the class is referred to as now. Next, there's one for year. What year is it? What month is it? What day is it? And what hour, what minute, what second, and then our data from the year January 1st, 1970. So this is a very simple program. It's using a board, which we'll take a look at in just a second with our PowerPoint. Now, we've used the software, which means that we've been working on our computers. Now we need to start thinking about how do we move our product and what kind of things are we going to move down to the ocean side. Because unlike a lot of prototyping, this is designed, we're designing to work in the harshest environment possibly in the solar system, and that's the ocean on Earth. If we think about Europa, the moon Europa, and its oceans of methane, they're probably quite stable compared to the ocean that we have here on Earth, in that we deal with a very corrosive material at its temperature of being the most corrosive possible. Salt water, ocean movement, bacteria, these are all things we need to consider as we're exploring the littoral space. So we're going to talk a little bit more about data logging and storing your data. So, data logging, what is it? We're looking at some very simple measurements. We're going to be looking at water temperature. We're going to make our own water clarity device, and we'll probably have to make our own conductivity device. Now, conductivity, think of it as a physical constant, which is just basically resistance, but it's called conductivity when you measure water, and we'll talk about why that is. Now below here, we can see that there's our data logger. This is what it looks like. At one end, the big silver thing is where the SD card goes. This little device right here is the real-time clock, RTC. This is the battery holder, and this fits on an Uno, so you can see most of this is quite small. Now this uses a standard size SD card, so that means that if you got some old piece of junk, 1 megabyte, you know, 256 megabyte device, SD card, you can plug it in here. And then we'll be using these prototype pins in future episodes where we're putting our sensors and connecting them here and then using this to connect into the Uno. So what do you need? Looks a lot like the last one. We're going to need an Arduino Uno. Now remember, an Uno can be picked up very inexpensively. Try to buy them from Amazon or Adafruit or one of those kind of companies. Some of the companies are producing sort of counterfeit devices, and when you update the programmer, sometimes the programmer will shut down. It's not the Microsoft's fault or Mac's fault or Linux's fault. It's because there's counterfeit parts. The data logger board will need a USB serial connection to the PC, the usual 9-volt clip, a 9-volt battery, soldering iron, and in our infamous LockSack bag that we would be using to take it down to the ocean. All right, so hook up your 9-volt battery, follow the instructions on how to solder the connectors to your data logging board. Make sure you haven't shorted any of your pins. Okay, let's load the sketch in Visual Studio. This is how we would do it. And then you will need to download the RTCDS1307 file into your libraries folder under your Arduino folder. This is true whether you're using the Arduino IDE or the Visual Micro IDE. Now, where are we going to put the data? Azure, but it can be expensive, and you may not have access to it, or you may only have a month. Now, Azure is beautiful. It's wonderful to share data. You can push data around. You can do data notifications, all very nice. Or we can use Office 365, OneDrive, much cheaper, free, and but it's missing some components, like our notification. I mean, if we had this system out and we had a Wi-Fi connected to it, or we were cellular, GPRS, general purpose radio systems, then you could share it with your friends. But you could just put it on a web page that you create and other people can look at it and then download it. And no radios, not yet. Why wouldn't we use radios for this? A couple reasons. One of the reasons is that if we're putting this underwater and we can't communicate with the radios, just forget about that. It's not happening. The other reason is that there's an added cost. Radios tend to be pricey. Now, for some people, 10 bucks a unit, not expensive. But if we're going to build a number of sensors so we can go down and make our data, take our data well, then we need to pick several points, and each point is going to have a way to collect the data. Now, we could have a sensor. There's some sensors that are called one-wire sensors, which I mentioned earlier. They're quite often used for these kind of ocean environments because they only have to have one wire, and the signal is returned via the ocean. Not a great system because there's a lot of electrical noise in that, but we'll talk about how to fix that. But the radios that we could use would be Bluetooth or Bluetooth Smart. Now, Bluetooth Smart, very low power, but very limited. Wi-Fi, very unlimited, but very high power consumption. We will be talking about using a GPS data logger so we can make sure our location is correct, because we might want to do some floaters, as an example, or we might want to put our logger on a fishing boat so that we can pick up data as the fishing boat moves around. Now, the other one, for if we wanted to have a number of sensors that talk to each other and didn't want to use the one wire, a simple wire system, the way that we could do it is to use these two devices that I show on the screen, and this is simply called TX2s and RX2s, and that's what you use to look them up. These are built into radio control cars, and in general, they are not surface mount, not they're not the hard kind of surface-mounted devices to unsolder. So you could unsolder them. You could break apart your radio control car if you're of an age where your mom might get upset by that. Make sure you talk to her about it. If you're not, then take them apart, and you can find these devices. They're usually marked, and then you use a soldering iron to unsolder them. They're pretty hardy. They can handle fairly high temperatures. And then what you can do is put a transmitter onto one of your devices, and when you read about it, you can send very low frequency signals two other devices within a certain distance. So they have to be fairly close together. But you can make a mesh system using these TX2, RX2 systems. And they're inexpensive if you want to, if you're a parent and you want to buy them in bulk. For $100, you can probably get 20 or 30 of the pairs. If you go directly to Alibaba, each chip runs, I think, around 10 cents. But you have to buy them, you know, like $1,000 worth of them, which is quite a few. Okay, back to sensors. As we went over in our previous one, sensors tend to be very, very simple because bodies of water tend to be very, very harsh on any high levels of complexity. If you think about submarines, these are very complex devices run by people who are very disciplined, and there's a reason for that. The ocean has a tendency to want to kill you, really. Okay, so anyway, water clarity, let's use the disc, drop it down and until we can't see it, and then that's the water clarity, which isn't the way we're going to do it. We're going to build a sensor that uses some light and detect the changes in the light. Water conductivity sensors measure the concentration of ions in the solution. It could be referred to as water resistivity, but sometimes conductivity is used. Conductivity is the opposite, the inversion of resistivity. Water pH. A pH meter, again, is going to be tricky for us to do because it's basically a battery, and then we take some measurements off of it just as we would a battery. So this is something I would ask that you kind of get familiar with. And then finally, our conclusion. And again, we use the simplest and most basic Arduino software, but instead of using the Blink, we used a data logger. Now, in the data logger, we did have to use a custom or user-developed library. We talked about how to do that. We also read through the code. It's mostly reading serial signals from the real-time clock. To keep it very simple, we only did the RTC. We didn't add any sensors. In our next show, we'll add some sensors and show you how to do that. We may also discuss some other types of board other than the Duino. So thank you very much, and let's end it.